Welcome to another podcast from Planet Shakers Church. For details on campus locations and service times, check out planetshakers.com. Today we've got Pastor Mark Varaghy speaking on Revival Now. Let's check it out.
I've entitled tonight's message, last message, Revival Now. Revival now, not yesterday, not tomorrow, not in 19th century, not in the next 10 years, revival now. Matthew 25, and here's what it says. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. Some versions say minimal oil, like the barest level. But the wise took oil, or some versions, Amplified version says extra oil. Say extra. Extra oil, not chewing gum, extra oil. Took extra oil in their vessels with their lamps. Five wise, five foolish, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and said, nope, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. You know, all 10 had lamps. So from the outside, they all looked the same. But the Bible called five wise and five foolish. What's the difference between the wise and the foolish if on the outside they all look the same? See, the lamps are the external. We all have the external, the smile, the routine, the structure, whatever we're a part of. And the lamps are great. Nothing wrong with lamps. We need lamps. Thank God for lamps. But at the end of the day, what distinguishes a wise Christian from a foolish one, or what the Bible says wise or foolish Christianity, is not the label on the lamp, but the level of the oil. Five had extra oil, and that's wise. Five had not enough, none or minimal, and that's called foolish. We know what oil speaks of. It speaks of the presence of God. It speaks of the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the anointing that we carry to empower us, to sustain us. And you know, I feel like this whole last 3 days we've just soaked and drunk and just... You can't be in this atmosphere. Well, you've only been for one, I've had two rounds of it. And I can tell you, there's very few places you go into the world where you get more than you give. And I am leaving tomorrow filled to overflowing just because of the faith that you carry, the hunger you carry, the desire you carry for the presence of God. See, so often we work on the lamp. We polish the lamp. We go to conferences. One thing I can tell you about Planet Shakers Conference, from my experience in all these years, it's not a lamp conference, it's an oil conference. And there's nothing wrong with lamp conferences. Lamp conferences are cool. How to get a shinier lamp, better lamp, more effective lamp. 7 ways to get the lamp more effective. And well, that's cool, great. Nothing wrong. I love lamp structures and all of that, but how many realize that we weren't wise or foolish according to our lamp, but wise or foolish according to our oil? You know, you can only go to the level of your oil. You can only shine as bright as the level of your oil. Scripture says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works in us. At the end of the day, the only thing limiting the revival that's coming out of the room is the amount of oil we choose to carry. See, there's a pragmatic side to Christianity in today's culture that really says, oh, I'll just have enough for the day. Just enough of God to get me through the day. Minimal oil. Christianity. The Bible says that's foolish. It's foolish to have just enough of God to get you through. It's a just enough mindset. I don't know how you drive. I drive. It's a male-female thing, but certainly for me, it's a real thing. I think there's always fuel in the tank, and when the thing hits E, E does not stand... In my world, for empty, it stands for enough. And it just, and in fact, E has 3 markers themselves, and that's its own little fuel gauge. And so really, once it gets to the bottom of the E, it's time to think about it. There are other people who would drive a lot more conservatively. Anyone in the room would drive more conservatively? Yeah, good on you. You're the wise ones. You like quarter tank, and we need more fuel. And like, we're going to wait in line, and it's... Now, how you want to drive is up to you, but how you want to live makes a big difference. The Bible calls foolish Christianity just taking enough of God to get through the day. And the problem with just enough oil is we live a just enough life. We've got enough oil to keep out of hell, but not enough oil to cast out hell. We've got just enough oil to not get sick, but not enough to heal the sick. Just enough oil to make sure I can do my life, but not enough oil to impact anyone else's life. Is there anybody here who says, I want more oil? Because the Bible calls wise Christianity those that take extra oil. And you know, the people go, what do you mean more of God? God's everywhere anyway. It's true. It's not wrong to say God is everywhere, because He is. He's in this pulpit, He's in this iPad, because He holds all things together. But when He breathed upon dust, He was already in the dust, because He holds the particles together. But more of God in the dust became flesh. And God's in every human being, because He holds their very being together. But then the Bible says when you open your heart, God will come in. And so now there's all more of God, but He was already there, because he made you and He formed you and He's holding your particles together. And then when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there's more of God. So it's more of God, there's more oil. And then when two or three gather, He says, I'm there in the midst. But He was already there, because He's in you, because you're filled. He's in you because you're in His image. He's in you because He holds your body together. And then when two or three begin to lift up praise, the Bible says He abides, He dwells, He resides, He sits on the praises of His people. But He was already there, because we gathered in His name. But there's always more of God. You know, what happens after 3 days of gathering, of praising, of dancing? Your body could be a little bit tired, but your spirit is so alive. And you know, I gotta be real honest with you, I've got a lot of work to do on this lamp. This lamp needs a lot of work. And do whatever work you, but you know what I'm really proud of? That I'm being a part of a community this weekend that didn't come obsessed about the lamp. I mean, buy the merch. But we're not really worried about dressing up the lamp as we are about filling ourselves with the oil. You might sit here tonight and go, oh, I don't seem to, I'm not as cool as that guy. Look, no one's as cool as Noah. Just give up. No one's ever going to be as cool as Noah. So stop, just get secure that you're not as cool and just be comfortable with that. Who can measure to his lamp? Look at his lamp. Don't look at his lamp. Amy can look at his lamp. But you know, when you read the stories of revivals, you read the stories of Wigglesworth and Finney and David Livingstone and John Wesley and Evan Roberts, William Booth, Catherine Kuhlman. I don't know what their lamps were like, but they had a lot of oil. I don't know whether their lamps were that spectacular, but they carried serious oil. They brought revival everywhere they went, not because of the stain on their lamp, but because of the level of their oil. And that's what's happened. Some of us are not going to really appreciate what's happened out of these last 3 days until we run into some circumstances. And by the way, it's great. You might go, I've been touched by God, I've been filled. But there's always more. There's always more. And some people go, what are we, just addicted? Yes. Yes. Unashamedly addicted. And you're like, but is that just like, you know, he's the most high, and you know, I know that I can get addicted, but is there a purpose? You know, there's some very practical Christians who think that sometimes, how much more of God do you want before you do something with it? I get that. But the question you have to answer is, why did the Bible call these five wise for taking extra oil? The reason, there's a few reasons you need extra oil. Why take reserves? Reserves aren't celebrated. You go to a sports team, who goes, one day I want to grow up and be a reserve. One day I want to be on the bench of an NBA team. One day I want to make the interchange of the AFL. No, nobody dreams of being the reserves, but reserves are important. Without reserves, you don't win. Without reserves, the championship's not won. Without reserves and the oil, there is often challenges. And the reason we take reserves, number one, is unexpected delays. Unexpected delays. Have you ever driven a car and you thought, oh yeah, no, there's enough fuel, because I know there's a station about just And then next thing you drive past and you've literally timed it perfectly, and then the station is shut down. Went through COVID or something and just like, it's over. Like, oh no, I was planning on that station on the freeway being there. And there's what do we call that? An unexpected delay. At that point, the fact you drove with minimal oil has now left you exposed. See, the Bible calls Christians with minimal oil foolish because they only take enough oil for what they think. But how many realize delays exist in life? Unexpected delays. If it was expected, it wouldn't be a delay. It's unexpected. We lived through 2020. That's called an unexpected delay. The people who are here, you don't realize it. In 2018, you ran up the front to an altar. In 2019, you said, God, I want more of you. And he carried you through a year of turbulence and shutdown and lockdown. You made it through an unexpected delay because you were always hungry for more oil. You were saying, God, I want more of you. I don't think I need it. I think I'm okay. But there is oil for the unexpected delays. Joseph was the ruler of Egypt 7 years. He administered the wealth of Pharaoh, and then God forewarned him about 7 years of famine. He said there's an unexpected delay, but it wasn't unexpected because he got told of it. And so he said, build some reserves. Reserves are biblical. And now, if God is God enough to tell you there's a famine, surely he's God enough to just go, poof. But God wanted to teach Joseph the principle that we need to learn. There's always more, and we need to build reserves. Because whatever, maybe it's a health delay. Maybe it's a financial delay. Maybe you're still single and you're like, I've been waiting for the one. This has been a delay. I told you the last time I spoke to you guys, I told you I wanted to get married at 22. I got married at 32, and thank God I got married at 32, but it was a delay. I was a groomsman 9 times. Nine times. The first time, it's a huge honor. By the fourth time, it's getting expensive. By the eighth time, I'm like, I don't even want to be there. I'm happy for you, yeah. But inside, I'm like, 9 times. There's delays that come. And here's the thing about delays, like a fuel station that wasn't where you thought it would be. Don't waste the delay. If you're in a delay, don't waste it. I don't know how many people slept through the pandemic. I'm talking like it's in the past, because to me it's in the past. Have you slept through so much of what, oh well, only when they finally call me, when they finally ask me to do this, when someone recognizes my gift, that's when, no. There's something about using the delays in your life. And you know, the foolish virgins, I thought about this, they were foolish on 2 counts. Number one, they were foolish because they took minimal oil. But secondly, they were foolish because when there was a delay, the Bible says the bridegroom delayed. He was meant to turn up at a time, but he didn't. Anyone ever felt like God was meant to turn up at a time and he just didn't turn up when you thought he was going to turn up? And that delay sometimes is God's mercy. I've got an incredible wife, beautiful kids. I'm so blessed with the church I lead, but there were some delays leading up to all of this. And really, I wasn't ready for it. But not only was I not ready for it, I had such a temptation to waste the delay. And the foolish virgin slept through the delay. Now, in the Bible, sleep can mean one of two things. It can mean rest, or it can mean apathy. So how do you know if sleep is rest in your life, or if it's apathy? Well, to those who have reserves, it's rest. To those who have minimal, it's apathy. Because that delay in the bridegroom was God's mercy on the foolish to go get more oil. And instead of getting more oil during the delay in their life, they decided to sleep through the delay. All 10 went to sleep. Maybe you're in a delay and you haven't got the contract you're believing for, but use the delay to build your business, to prepare yourself, to get yourself mentally sharp. Maybe there's a delay in waiting for the right one to come, but get yourself, turn yourself into the right one. Get yourself into some sort of place spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Maybe you're waiting for God to come through on some issue. You're waiting to have a child and it's just not happening. Well, get your house in order. Don't waste the delay. Don't sleep the delay away. You know, I have come to Planet Shakers every year for, well, except last year. Well, you didn't come to Planet Shakers last year either. pretty much, I think, every year for about almost 20 years, or over 20, pretty close. And I've always left with more oil than I came. And I didn't always know what the year ahead was going to hold. And I lived through multiple delays. And God's kindness was that the oil that I needed, the reserves that I thought were unimportant, that really didn't matter. What's another altar call? What's another session? What's another worship song? Come on, Joff, do we really need to sing another praise song? Why do we need to... Okay, I'll go. You don't realize what's happening in the exchange. You have plenty for today, but there's always unexpected delays. You don't know what's around the corner, but this is the part I'm really excited about. The reason we build reserves is not just for the delays we can't see, but there's unseen destiny locked up for you. And I need you to get this. There's destinies all over this house waiting to be fulfilled, but because you can't see the magnitude of what God has prepared ahead around the corner, you think all you need is because all you are is just an attender, or all you are is just you serve on this team, or all you are is you're only faithful in this area, all you're earning is only this much money, or all you're doing in this season of life is only this much, and you are planning your life as if you know what God is doing and what God has in store, but God has unseen destiny in front of you, and when you turn the corner, you're gonna go, man, I didn't realize this was in front of me. If only I had more oil, if only I was ready, if only I was prepared. Oh wow, God, I didn't know. Wow, hang on, this is crazy. I didn't know. God, you should have warned me. You know, Pastor Neil, who is somewhere, I'm sure, around the building. I thought you were Neil for a second. Wow, he's somewhere. You know, here's what happened. I grew up in two churches. One church called Perth CLC, one church called Lakes. Lakes for 5 years, that's the church Neil and Leonie planted. And then Perth CLC is the one David Storer, he was my pastor. So those are my two pastors. And I worked for Pastor Neil, and I was sent to Malaysia, which, by the way, for those of you who don't know, I'll never get tired of saying it, Pastor Russell and a whole bunch of his friends, largely mainly Planet Shakers, sowed into me everything the Kingdom City is doing around the world today. And by the way, you're all welcome. If you're ever in Malaysia, any Malaysians here? Any Africans here? Anyone from London, Dubai, you know, whatever. We're all family, so you're welcome. But all of that came because this house sowed into my house. And because there was extra oil in this house, it filled this lamp with enough oil to go and do what we are called to do. And I'm in Malaysia and I'm having fun, I'm eating food and eating all the stuff and doing, and next thing you know, but because I come to Planet Shakers, because there's a hunger for God, God, I need more of you. What for? I don't know, I've only got 150 people, but I need more of you, I need more of you. It's always a hunger for more. You don't know what the more's for. Sometimes it's for a delay that might surround you. Sometimes it's the destiny. And then like that, Pastor Neil says, we really feel you're the one to take the church. I'm like, what does that even mean? I live in Malaysia. You live in Perth. He goes, we're going to join Russell and Sam. And so Neil and Leonie have this amazing adventure waiting for them. And I get given this thing and I'm like, wow, I did not see that coming. Oh God, you need to give me about 3 months to go get my spirit right, because I don't know. You don't have the time. You know, 2 years ago, the other church I grew up in, Perth CLC, church of about 3,000 people, like that became Kingdom City. And our infrastructure, our team of guys, we need a year of prayer and fasting. You sometimes don't have the time to get yourself ready for what God has in store for you. So that's why moments like these are so valuable. That's why every altar call, every song, every moment in God's presence is preparing you for a revival, not just next year, not just next decade. Even now, revival is waiting for those with reserves. Revival is waiting for those with reserves. You know, Jesus saw a young boy and the disciples couldn't cast out the demon, and Jesus, like, oh, myself. It's a Pastor Russell joke. I'm trying to relate here. Help me. OMG. Oh, my me, whatever. Anyway, so listen, what's wrong with you disciples? And he casts out the devil and he delivers the boy. The boy's fine. And then the disciples pull him aside and said, boss, what happened there? How come we couldn't do that? We can do all the other things, we can do that. And Jesus said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. And yet in that exact moment, Jesus didn't pray or fast. He just commanded the demon to go. And so they'd be going, I thought you said prayer and fasting. You didn't do either. Imagine, but Jesus did pray every morning. Jesus went on a 40-day fast, but he didn't pray and fast because of a need. He prayed and fast because of an intimacy and because of a desire for more of God. He had a hunger for the Spirit, and so he already carried a reserve. So he tells them, you need a level of prayer and fasting, but there was an unseen destiny. Imagine if suddenly something drops in your lap, you're like, whoa, that's full on. Look, give me 3 hours to pray and fast. I'll come back, leave your son there. Where is the keyboardist, please? Louder, more, Cheryl, lift it. I need someone. Who can I call? We don't have the time to walk into that which God has already prepared. There is unseen destiny all around. Do you know, in 1998, some of you weren't born. 1998, I was first year as a lawyer. I just finished university. I'm working and I've got this thirst for God. I can't explain how or where it came from, but I would get up at 5 a.m. and pore over the scriptures. I would read books that I now sleep through, like Leviticus. I would read everything and anything that had God in it. I would just highlight and I would go, God, I want to know you. God, I got to know you. I don't just want to understand this. I want to know you. I had this thirst. Now, I've got news for you. I wasn't running an urban life. I wasn't running an urban. I didn't have a life. I had nothing. I had no responsibility. Nobody asked me to preach. Nobody had any desire to use me for anything. I wasn't seeking him because of a responsibility. I just had a thirst for more oil. I didn't know I would need that down the track. There's unexpected delays. Sure, extra oil will carry you the distance, but there's unseen destiny. Don't just desire enough oil for your day-to-day. Desire enough oil for your dream one day, because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, those who want him, those who desire him. You might say, I'm too old. You might say, I'm too young. But don't say either, because there's unseen destiny waiting ahead of you. And the more of God you get today, the quicker you'll embrace that tomorrow. And then number three, why take reserves? Why were these guys wise? Not only because of the unexpected delays in life that we have to navigate, and God carried us through that last year. Not only because there's destiny literally hovering and God is looking for those who've got extra, but what about just take extra oil because of unconditional desire? But what about, why do I need more of God? How about not because of a delay that could affect me or a destiny that could entice me? How about just because I love him? How about just because it's who he is? How about I love him even if he never did another thing for me? How about even if I didn't make it through a delay or I didn't get a destiny? How about this thing is around a wedding? This thing is around a wedding. This whole parable is around a wedding. I don't know if you're married. My wife Jemima, imagine if she said, I'm going to marry that guy because I've got a big hex debt. He'll carry me through the delay. You know, my wife, I sponsored her as a kid. She was a missionary. As a kid, growing up in our church supported their family. I was paying for her back then. Imagine if you thought, okay, I'll marry this guy because he'll carry me through by delays. Or imagine if she said even worse, I'll marry him because he's pretty anointed. He looks like Pastor Russell. They look pretty identical. And I think I know what's going to happen to him. Oh, let's hitch my wagon to that guy, or whatever the expression is. Imagine if that, how horrible when someone marries you for a destiny or marries you so you can carry them through a delay. How about you just marry me because you love me and I marry you because I love you? How about we just want more of God because he's awesome? How about we just love Jesus because it's who he is? How about we just worship him because he's worthy? How about we just desire more of him, not because there's a delay to get through or a destiny to draw us, but because he's God and he's worthy, and he's worthy of all praise, he's worthy of all worship. My soul thirsts for you. You know, I'm going to get the band to come, and there's something I want to share before I leave, and this is just me releasing what I feel. There is a rich heritage in this city, and there's a convergence of this movement, this moment, and Melbourne itself, that it's not coincidence, it's not happenstance, it's not, even though we've gone through an unexpected delay, there is some, you are not in this room by chance, you are not in this room by accident, but there is a revival now that is about to break outside the parameters. And here's the thing, some of you have been so faithful for years as a part of this church. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your faithfulness, your love, your commitment, your giving, your support, your hunger. There's no many churches in the world in the back row, they're standing and worshiping during a message. I want to thank you. It's not even really my place, but I want to thank you because there is, this lamp is spectacular. I mean, it's one of the most contemporary lamps. You don't see lamps with all these phenomenal, I don't know whether I'm in the time warp or like all these things. It's like, I don't know which screen to look at. It's an amazing lamp, but there's unprecedented oil. There's unprecedented oil. And there's a revival that's now, but that revival, see, revival is never the goal. Revival is the byproduct. See, when God revives you and you say, you know what? I'm a businessman, I'm a dentist, I'm in sports, I'm in media, I'm in arts. This is not about, revival is not you working for a church. It's all of us awakening as the church. Revival is not spending more time in a building, but us doing what we're called to do, bringing the reality of God to our world, wherever he has placed us, wherever he's called us, but there's oil inside of you so that when your workmate has an unexpected delay, you've got oil for them. When there's destiny waiting for you, you've been prepared for this moment, for such a time as this. Every session, every sermon, every song, every second in his presence. And not induced by delay or destiny, but just because we desire him. You know, we sang Jesus, and we just sang the name Jesus over and over again. Can we sing the name Jesus over and over again? I just feel right now that we don't need a delay or a destiny to pull us. There's a desire in this room that is so strong. Come on, from the front to the back. Just because of who he is. Come on, out of your own mouth, just begin to... bridegroom again, fall in love with the bride. He knows you.
Planet Shakers, he's filling us with more oil. I mean unprecedented levels of oil, not just pre-COVID, for a revival now. For a revival right now, for a revival now.
Let me read something to you. Let me tell you something about this city. Let me tell you something about Melbourne. I did a bit of research into the revival history of the place that we're standing in. God loves this city so much. God loves this state so much. God loves everyone who calls it home, whether it's recent or long-standing. In 1857, in Victoria, a conference of ministers got together and prayed for revival for Victoria. They prayed for the Holy Spirit. Prayer meetings began all over Victoria on Saturday nights in Melbourne, Bendigo, Geelong, Ballarat. It was interdenominational. Revival historians say this contributed to the waves of revival that began to hit Victoria. In 1859, the Brighton Revival with the Methodists. The Spirit moved and hundreds were added to the church. In 1888, evangelist George Clark ministered and businessmen came together. And they made a decision that every Victorian must hear the gospel. In the late 1800s, ministers began to pray for revival for Melbourne, for power in preaching to meet the needs of the people, and it laid a foundation. In 1902, R.A. Torrey held a crusade in the Royal Exhibition Building where 10,000 people came at night and up to 15,000 tried to get in. And they estimated ran over 250,000 in attendance when Melbourne only had 500,000 people back then. When Victoria had 1 million, over 8,500 people came to Christ and it started to impact Australia. In 1925, there was a Sunshine Revival. Over 1,000 people filled with the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Pentecostal Church happened right here. It impacted the rest of the world. C.L. Greenwood began prayer meetings in his house and it said the power of God began to manifest in a mighty way where sinners were converted and believers were baptized in the Holy Spirit and healed. Spread that God was doing great things. In 1927, the gospel was declared publicly over the Princess Bridge. It had a sign in 1927. It said, "Get right with God." It was advertising for every Sunday night. There's the train revival. In the 1930s, the gospel messages were declared on all the city trams. These were some of the signs. I know that my Redeemer lives. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord is a good God, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and knoweth him that trusted him. The ministry of the gospel on trams. Listen to this, it went for 20 years and it spread to Geelong, to Ballarat, to Bendigo, and so many recorded testimonies of the Word of God being publicly displayed. In 1959, even on the MCG website, the largest crowd ever gathered at the ground of football was not a football game, but it was a Billy Graham crusade. It was a four-month tour of the nation, but the highlight was right here in Melbourne. 130,000 people conservatively on March 15, 1959. There's soil, there's a seed of revival. In 1997, Rodney Howard Brown came to Melbourne carrying the fire of God, and an influential 30-year-old man, he got touched in the meetings and God told him to start a conference called Planet Shakers. And he said to God, "What's that?" God said, "You'll see." And he went back to Adelaide and the fire started there. 300 became 30,000 around the nation, and a fire was lit in Melbourne. In 2004, Russell and Sam Evans moved to Melbourne with a team, and the movement began a church. The fastest growing church in Australia's history is now 17,000 people all around Melbourne. For such a time as this, revival now! Revival now! And in 2021, after a pandemic, a global pandemic, after an unexpected delay because of the oil that had been building over 20 years, an unseen destiny was released. Shakers went boom, and Planet
boom went around Australia and shook a new younger generation, carrying not just a fresh sound, but a fresh fire revival, a fresh sound, a fresh fire, a fresh revival. You are part of a revival right now. So come on right now, why don't you just begin to give God the kind of revival praise that begins to resonate, because you are in the news of what God is doing today.
Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part?